Well, now on to a huge story creating waves in the international financial markets. The banking major Credit Suisse has seen its shares crash more than 20% to record lows after its main shareholder flatly refused to pump in more money, a move which has brought down shares in several other European banks. Credit Suisse, the second largest bank in Switzerland, has been shaken recently by a series of scandals. What is the impact of this crash in simple terms? How is it going to impact the banking sector potentially around the world? Joining us now, Krishnamurthy Subramanian, the economist who till recently served as chief economic advisor to the government of India. Thanks very much, Mr. Subramanian, for being with us. Now, shares of Credit Suisse have lost more than one quarter of their value. They've hit a record low. This is after their biggest shareholder, the Saudi National Bank, told outlets that they wouldn't inject more money into the ailing Swiss bank. Why would the Saudi National Bank not want to inject more money into Credit Suisse? What's the problem?
So, Vishnu, I think the Saudi bank deciding not to put more money into Credit Suisse is symptomatic of the problems that the American and possibly the European banks are witnessing. If we focus on the American banks, and you would recall the fiasco at Silicon Valley Bank and also at Signature Bank in New York, it actually has been an outcome of what started the badly judged policy that the United States implemented during COVID, which was, spending like there was no tomorrow. Allow me to explain why this is the case. There were two main effects of that. One, inflation, and therefore the significant tightening that the Fed has to had to do. There's been a 5% increase in the policy rate in just 6 months, which is the largest increase in four decades in the United States. That was the first effect. The second effect that actually, is more nuanced, but I think that's what is really leading to this banking, sector problems, was the fact that the welfare programs or the subsidies that were given during COVID was, not well targeted at all, unlike, in India, for instance. When subsidies or money is given in the hands of the poor, that enhances consumption significantly. But when it is given across the board, rich do not spend as much, don't have as many opportunities to spend, especially during the lockdown phase. And so that went into savings. If you look at the actual numbers then, the increase in deposits, with the U.S. commercial banks was $5 trillion. In contrast, because the demand did not pick up, consumption did not pick up as much, the lending was only $2 trillion. Now, there's a gap of $3 trillion. Where does that go? It has to go somewhere. It went into, about a half of that went into, U.S. treasuries and what are called agency securities. These are securities, the value of which essentially, decreases when the interest rates go up. That is exactly what happened, when the Fed had to, combat inflation from right. this spending like there's no tomorrow. So the banks are sitting on now almost 600 billion plus, unrealized losses, which is cumulatively about 30% of the U.S. banking sector's equity. 30%, that's a very large number. So, and at this time, no investor would want to put in equity into a bank. And that is why, the Saudi bank has refused to put in equity into Credit Suisse.
So here's my second question, and it's a basic one. Now, the Credit Suisse stock price has brought down the shares of stock crash has brought down shares of other European banks in double digits in some cases. Do you believe that this knock-on effect will continue? Are we looking at something that's going to seriously destabilize the banking sector, not just in Europe, but perhaps outside as well? What sort of exposure would Credit Suisse have to, let's say, Asian markets?
So I'm, I've studied the U.S. banking sector very carefully, and I can say, with confidence, I've put out a thread as well on Twitter, which has since gone viral, showing the effect of the fiscal profligacy and spending like there's no tomorrow. I think the U.S. banking system is certainly impacted, even taking into account the program that the Fed has brought out the discount window. I would like to think I've actually not checked the data for the European banks the way I actually talked about for the American banks, you know, the increase in deposits, lending, etc. So I've not looked at the data, but I would think that a similar phenomenon might have manifested there as well, because the COVID programs actually were very similar, you know, in Europe to those in the United States. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, banks in Europe are also sitting on large unrealized losses, but I don't have the data to back that particular up, claim, and therefore I'm being a little bit more speculative. So I would say that, you know, the American and the European banks, you know, may be impacted. Other emerging economies that actually followed the template of the United States, Europe, I think might also possibly be looking at similar situations. I must mention that India will definitely be the positive exception here, because we did not spend like there was no tomorrow. We're very, you know, prudent in the way we spent. I would like to recall, this is in some way like the series of accidents that happened in India itself, you know, following the global financial crisis, you know, and these are quote unquote accidents because they resulted from myopic policy making that right. Eventually led to India becoming part of the Fragile Five. I think a similar phenomenon manifesting in different ways, but a series of accidents, I think that might manifest both in the, you know, American and the European economy, and possibly in some other emerging economies that just copy-pasted their policies.
So just a final question to you. In terms of background, the Saudi National Bank, as I understand it, invested $1.5 billion, and they acquired about 10%, less than 10%, on Credit Suisse, and they banked on Credit Suisse, revealing a new strategy to deal with several bad decisions, right? They've taken bad bets, for example, on hedge funds. There was a spying scandal as well involving their rival UBS. This was one mistake after the other at Credit Suisse, poor decisions at one level, which have ultimately caused this, right?
Right. I think what I'm talking about, Vishnu, here is actually not about an individual bank, right? I'm talking about problems that, span the entire banking sector. If it is the case that, as it is with the American banks, European banks are also sitting on investments in securities, which have to be marked down in value because of the raise in the policy rates, then the problems actually are beyond Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse, of course, I think is in a worse situation because of the governance problems that preceded this. But my sense is the fall in the shares of the other European banks, I think, suggests I will, you know, maybe the next couple of days go and check the data on, is there a similar phenomenon at play in the European banks? I suspect there may be, but I don't have the numbers to back it.
Sure.
And that is why I'm actually being a little bit more careful there.
All right. Thanks very much for joining us. Just one point as we leave. Yesterday, Credit Suisse, in fact, published its annual report for 2022. And they've apparently identified key, and I quote, material weaknesses. One would suggest that the use of those words is a bit of a red herring. It's a lot more than material weaknesses. There's been a massive crash, and there will be an impact. Thanks, Dr. Subramanian, for sort of explaining to us in easy terms what this is all about. Thanks very much indeed.